Faith. No matter who you are, whether you have a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, or whether you haven't come to that point in your life yet, if you walk through the doors of this church, you have an interest in this word. You're either seeking to understand it, and the Word of God tells us that if you seek, ye shall find. That's one thing my mother taught me when I was a kid. Every time I was looking for my shoes or my socks or something, she'd always say, seek and ye shall find. I don't even think she knew it was in the Bible. But she always told me that, and it really stuck. And so every time, even as an adult, when I drop a screw in the gravel driveway and I want to look for it, I just keep saying, seek and ye shall find. And it always works. When you seek, you shall find. Especially when you're seeking out the answer to this word. You will find. And I also remember another thing that I learned at a very young age. And it had to do with this word. Every time I heard this word, I knew something else was coming that I wasn't expecting. Might be good, might be bad. I remember saying, is it okay if I use the car tomorrow? I got something I want to do. And my dad would say, sure, but mow the lawn first. So as soon as you got the butt, I knew something else was coming. Adam, the first man, he asked the Father God, he said, can I eat any fruit that's in the Garden of Eden? And God said, yes, but do not eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat of that, you will surely die. And Lot, you remember Lot's story? Lot's family was saved from God's destruction of an evil city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And right before the destruction came, Lot was instructed to leave the city, and he fled with his whole family. But his wife didn't, and she was commanded not to look back, but she looked back, and when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. So whenever you hear that but, you always got to think there's more responsibility attached here somewhere. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, this kind of amazed me when I looked this up. There's 3,751 buts in scripture. Okay. Here's the first one. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So how important was our faith when we first believe? To me, it was everything. It was everything. In March of 1976, I received Jesus as my Savior. And I received it, I was raised Jewish. And I went to Sunday school every Sunday, got some good teaching about the Old Testament. But as I became a teenager and a little older, I started questioning, is there a God? And if there is there a way that he means for us to live in this sin-filled world? So I started seeking. I started seeking the answers to those questions. And of course, one of the places I started looking into was the Bible. And I started reading the Old Testament again and the New Testament. And I came to the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ with a very clear understanding through all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament that from Adam all the way to Jesus, the whole Bible was truly written about Jesus and about him coming and the need for a Savior. And I came to understand all those truths as I read the scriptures. And in March of 1976, I bowed down and asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. And from that moment on, there's no question about it, faith was everything to me. I became so hungry for the Word of God, so hungry for knowing all about His ways and how He means for me to live in this temporal life, that I became hungry. Now, in 1976, there was some stuff going on in this country. It was called the Jesus Movement. It was the time of a revival. Who was in that? Raise your hand. It was great times. I mean, there's great times today, but there was something special going on back then. We didn't really go to church at that time. We went to meetings at community centers or something of that sort. And we would always go just expecting not to hear from a man. We went always expecting to hear from God. And every time we went, we did. And we began to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, putting on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And faith was the most important thing in our life. And it gave us a great hunger. I knew when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and was forgiven of my sins, I knew that the Spirit of the living God came to dwell inside of me. I mean, I actually sensed, you know, it was like the Star Wars thing, the Force. Okay, I actually sensed this Force within me. And I believe from that time on, and it's still happening today, that I am getting guided. I'm getting help through this life. I got help. Not only has my sins been forgiven me, but I got the Spirit of the living God dwelling in me to help me make choices on how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father, which my kids are all grown now. Now, how to be a grandfather. And I just know that I have help in dealing with all the decisions in life because of that step I took in faith, in receiving Jesus as my Savior. So that step of faith was everything. As a Christian, faith was the beginning of an eternal journey. For all of us that are believers in Christ as our Savior, when we got saved, we began on this journey, an eternal journey, where many people that don't know Christ, they think this is all there is. Boy, if this is all there is, it's not so good. As a child, when I began my eternal journey, I knew something special was going to be happening in my life. And one of the first things that happened is I met my wife. I always believed marriage was supposed to be the closest relationship to heaven on earth. And it is, praise God. So one thing we've learned is, with faith, we can please God. And it's impossible to please Him without faith. You know the story in Luke chapter 5? Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and doctors of the law, which came from miles around into this house. And as he was teaching, there were so many people there. There was another couple men that brought a friend of theirs who was sick with the palsy. He couldn't get out of bed. So they brought him in his bed, carrying his bed. But there were so many people there, they couldn't get into the house. They climbed up on the roof, tore open the roof, and dropped this man down on his bed in front of Jesus. This story always amazes me. Jesus said to them, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." First of all, it amazed me that the first thing Jesus didn't say was, "Hey, are you guys going to fix that roof?" Think about it. Tearing open a roof and dropping a bed. You know how big that hole had to be? And it was a blessing that he didn't fall out of that bed. But Jesus forgave his sins and healed him. And he got up and he walked out of that house. And of course, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were quite amazed. How about the other story? Another story about a woman who had an issue of blood. She had faith that if she could touch Jesus' garment, she would be healed of her disease. And she wiggled her way through the massive crowd that was all around Jesus and touched his garment. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What are you talking about? There's all these people all crushing around you, and you ask, who touched you?" Jesus said, virtue went out of him. He turned around and he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee." In Luke 7:48. Faith was everything. Everything. With faith, we can please God. With faith, our sins are forgiven. With faith, we receive the gift of salvation. With faith, we receive miracles. I could stand here for the rest of the day and tell you of miraculous experiences I've had in my life personally. Sometimes I tell people I don't believe in God anymore. I've had so many experiences with him. I know he's real. I know he loves me. I know he saved me. Praise God. Many of you have stories of miracles in your life that you know you could give testimonies of. And if there's miracles you're still desiring, I believe this service will help you get to that place today. Here we go again. Here comes the surprise around the corner. Faith without love is nothing. Now, don't look at me that way. I got this out of the Bible. Faith, which has always been the most important thing in my life, and now I'm learning that it is nothing without love. And when we all first believed that Jesus was our Savior, faith was everything. And you mean to tell me my faith is nothing without love? Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's what that was. It was also to wake anybody up that was sleeping. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. What this scripture is telling me is that you could have fame, you could have fortune, you could have great knowledge, and you could have great power that you can accomplish in this temporal life, in this world, but you could have the wrong motives for it all. Here's another but. But if we as believers, we're on an eternal journey. Life, when our bodies die, we continue on. And we're looking forward to a much greater life after this one than what we have here. And that is a great hope, a great promise. That gives us great confidence in dealing with so many aspects of life in this temporal world. Instead of seeking all this stuff for ourselves, we're not to conform to the ways of the world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we could come to know what God's will is for our life. See, God has a plan for us all. We just need to keep seeking and finding. Seeking and finding. Never stop seeking and finding. You know, I have repented for different issues in my life 50,000 times. Lord, forgive me if I didn't get it exact. At least. So many times, and I still am, and I will continue to repent about stuff all the way into glory, because I will never become perfect. But I have always become better. We will always become better as we seek and as we find. And the message today is, add love to your faith. Now, all of us have issues in our life with people. If it wasn't for people, it'd be easy to love. We as believers are to set our affections on things above, not on things in this temporal life, not on things of the world. And it's amazing when you combine, when you use your faith to really set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth, things that are eternal. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing you can take to heaven with you. There's only one thing you can take to heaven with you. Relationships. They may not get there at the same time. Some may not get there at all. But they continue for eternity. And above all, we as believers in Jesus Christ as Lord must learn how to love everybody. Everybody. Even our enemies. And we have to love people. Part of the requirement. Can't be just our pets. Or our cars, or our toys. has to be people. Okay? Webster's defines relationship as the way in which two or more people behave toward and deal with each other. Not all relationships are loving. Is that true or not? Oh, yeah. Relationships take a lot of work to function. Some people put more work into dysfunction than function. Relationships can be very messy. There are many different types of relationships: acquaintances, friends, best friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, husband, wife, relatives by blood, relatives by marriage, extended family, neighbors, even enemies. And as I was going through those, you're thinking, oh, yeah, we have a problem. Oh, we have a problem with them, too. Oh. And I did say enemies. Jesus said, ye have heard that has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate thine enemy. Here goes a but. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. You have any relationships like that? Maybe people even in your family or extended family that curse you or hate you? Maybe. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them to despitefully use you and persecute you. Our relationships range from marriage, which should be the closest relationship to heaven on earth, to enemies, the closest relationship to hell on earth. But that's what we have. That's what we have to deal with in this temporal existence. And we have to learn to love them all. Got a little object lesson I want to show you. In life, people aren't always nice to other people. You can probably think of people that aren't nice to you. People that are enemies to you, maybe even have persecuted you. I've run into people all the time that criticize me for my faith, or criticize me, call me all kinds of names because I don't believe in their lifestyle, okay? And I believe in always loving the sinner. You don't have to accept the sin, but you should always love the sinner. Didn't God love you when you were? So sometimes people just get downright evil to us, and it causes our heart to break. And they may tell you they hate you. They may call you a Jesus freak. Well, that would probably be a compliment. But they just may do all kinds of manner of bad things in your relationship, and it causes you to, well, you want to hate them, but you know God doesn't want you to. As a matter of fact, Jesus was sent. Jesus said this. Actually, it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. And that's what he does. No matter how terrible things seem to get, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. If there's one thing you'll remember today, it'll be that. The thing that makes relationships so difficult, besides it deals with people, is according to the Bible, all relationships are to be based in love. All of them. What? See if I get my phone out here. Hey, Siri. What's the definition of love?
Love means an intense feeling of deep affection.
An intense feeling of deep affection. Sorry, got it wrong. That is not what love means. It's not the first time she got something wrong. The true definition of love is God. 1 John 4:8. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. God is love. So no matter whether you have friends, acquaintances, marriage, or enemies, just give them some of God. Just give them some of God. When you're around them, think, am I a representation of Jesus Christ? And that's difficult to do. But let me tell you something. You want your faith increased? Learn how to love everybody. It's amazing how God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I used to always think that was a free ride of getting all my needs met. But somebody told me one day, years ago, and it stuck with me ever since. You know why? Because it was the truth. He says that means you're supposed to glorify Jesus in your life. Then all your needs will be met. And I said, wow, I need to think about that for a while. Glorifying Jesus, then your needs are met. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Now, Jesus totally glorified God. God was totally satisfied and pleased with His Son. It's not because of how happy He was with His Son that all of our needs get met. It's how much we glorify Jesus in our life. To glorify His Son, our needs get met, and even the desires of our heart. That helped me out when you told me that years ago. So God is love. John 4:8. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's why all the first century Christians, you know how they were persecuted? How they were martyred? How they were hung on stakes and in coliseums and lions would attack them and stuff. And yet, during that time, they were singing praises unto God, because they knew that God was in them, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. And just like Stephen, when he was persecuted for witnessing about Jesus and they stoned him to death, the Word of God tells us he just fell asleep. See, God's in control of everything, every little minute aspect of His children's lives. That's us. Every aspect, whether it's pleasure, pain, loss, or gain, He's with you. And He's helping us. And when the pain comes, He can take it away instantly. God is able to do anything and everything. And we just need to let Him be God rather than try to, you know, we're always, and it's something we need to do all the time as His children, always ask Him for stuff. We need to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I remember reading something from Swift Wigglesworth. He said, if you pray five times for something, you just need to know you prayed once in faith and the rest of them were in doubt. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving Jesus, he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the most important commandment is what he was saying. And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I love this one. There is none other commandment greater than these. A lot of people always wonder what God's will is. You're looking at it. God's will is just in his word. And every single page of God's word, every single thing the prophets ever spoke out of their mouth that came from God are based on this scripture. Everything. And Jesus, and there is no commandment greater in all of scripture. It's almost like if you really understand this scripture and you really are applying it to your life, it's like you're fulfilling all the other scriptures. To me, these particular two verses are like the main scriptures if you want to live a God-glorifying life. Learn how to love God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength, which is an ever-increasing process in our life. We all say, well, we could definitely pray more. We could love more. Okay? You know, we could serve in the church more. Whatever. Whatever comes to your conviction about how to love God more, seek the Lord on what you should do. And loving people. Loving your neighbor. That's everybody. That's everybody from the closest relationship to heaven on earth to the closest relationship to hell on earth. Learn how to love everybody. Love your neighbor. Learning how to do that. The Bible is full of teaching on how to love your wife, on how to love your children, on how to be an employee, an employer, a master, a servant. It's all there. You want to learn how to love your enemy? It's there. You learn how to love any type of relationship you can think of. It's in the Word of God. Seek and ye shall find. I totally believe that my family and my marriage is the closest relationships to heaven on earth because of my faith. And because of God's word teaching me how to love. I had four boys and then a daughter. The daughter's the youngest. Four boys taught me law. I was a law father. Do this, do that. This is right, this is wrong, black and white. And then I had a daughter. I learned gray. I learned sensitivity. And I learned how to love much deeper. And my son said, thank you, God. And we're all, even today, my whole family is coming together just to celebrate one of my sons and daughter-in-law's birthdays today. We get together for everybody's birthday, every holiday, and any time in between we can come up with a reason to get together. And we all look forward to it. We laugh, we have fun, we pray, we have fun, we have fun. And it's all because of Christ. I grew up in a total dysfunctional family, total. My father was a workaholic and my mother was totally, how could you call it, self-indulgent. They even hired someone else to take care of us, like a nanny, during the day, all the time. And show you, I shared this once before, but just how crazy my upbringing was is when I was just in daycare, my parents would drop me off at daycare in the morning, which was a Catholic daycare, and Jewish Sunday school on Sunday morning. It was more for getting rid of the kids than for really building faith up, you know. So anyways, it was dysfunctional. And I had no clue on what the right kind of man to be is. I had to learn it all on my own. Never went to college. I grew up in that hard knock street all the time. And did a lot of wrong stuff, but I was always seeking. And that's what helped me, because my mom taught me one good thing. Seek and ye shall find. It wasn't shoes. It was Savior. And when I found him, and that's what's so cool about Father God. No matter what kind of messed up life you had growing up, you got a father that'll reteach you when you start seeking and finding. And it reteach you how to be a man, how to be a woman, how to be every, of, you know, like I said, father, husband, wife, mother, grandparent. It's so awesome. And then you get it right. I invite the worship team to come up, please. And you know, I love organic gardening, vegetable gardening. And I compare love with compost and manure. Let me explain. Compost and manure, when you add it to soil and you add some sand in it and a few other things, okay? It's pretty messy, just like relationships are. It's really messy. And it's a lot of work to till it into the soil and to get it right. But once you put the work into that relationship of compost, manure, and dirt, and straw, and sand, once you put that combination together, whoa, it produces wonderful fruit. And that's what love does in our life. Even when you love your enemy, that enemy could get saved because of the love. Jesus says when you love your enemy, it's like dumping hot coals over their head. They can't handle that love. They can't figure out, why does he still love me? And one day, they're going to ask you that. And you're going to tell them, it's the Jesus in me that's able to do this. And you never know. You may win a brother. Let's all stand up and worship God for how great he is and how thankful we are for all that he has done.